Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Word of God, the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I could stop right there and preach. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. I've always been fascinated by that phrase, partakers of the divine nature. Friend, when you got born again, something happened to you. You became a partaker of his divine nature. Something that was lost in the Garden of Eden is reclaimed. That spark of deity, that divine nature is inside of you when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That by these, whereby you are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may be seated. The Apostle Peter is straining. I know that feeling. Somebody complimented me Wednesday or Sunday about a message that had helped them. And I said, but it wasn't nearly as good as it was when God woke me up and gave it to me at 3 a.m. By the time it filters through my flesh, it is very anemic compared to what God gives me. I wished I could project to you what God gives me, but somehow by the time it comes through my brain and out my mouth, it's not nearly as powerful as it was when the voice of the Spirit speaks it to my spirit. And the Apostle Peter is straining to make us, the readers, here to understand the importance, the power, the supernatural properties of being a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled child of God. What a privilege, what a power, what an access to the divine nature, to the divine power of Almighty God. Again, Holy Ghost-filled child of God. He wants us to realize who we are. He is exhausting his vocabulary, the Apostle Peter. He's exhausting his vocabulary and stretching the limitation of his language to impress upon us the availability of what he calls the divine power and the divine nature. When you got born again, you didn't just get saved. You had a nature change. You had a supernatural bypass. You had an impartation of something that normal humanity does not have. The Apostle Peter is highlighting that God has given us, the believers, promises. These promises are amazing. Not just promises. The Apostle Paul would write to Timothy and say, in the last days, there shall be perilous times. God has got great promises for perilous times. We live in perilous times, but God's promises are greater than the peril. I can tell you that. And so he is highlighting that God has given us, the believers, promises. Not just promises. He said, but great promises. He's trying to emphasize it. He said, God's given you promises. No, he said, no, let me tell you, God's given us great promises. He said, that doesn't do it justice. God has given us precious promises. He said, no, that doesn't do us justice. God has given us promises. Great promises, precious promises, exceeding precious promises. Friend, we should not be fearful no matter what the culture throws at us. Because the promises of God are what? Yay and amen. Yes, and God's going to do it. Hallelujah. Let's look at some of those promises tonight. Number one, God's power in us is superior to any spirit or power that can come against us. Friend, if you believe that, you can overcome depression. If you believe that, you can overcome fear. If you can believe that, you will not stop. If you can believe that, you will not quit. If you believe that, you'll never throw in the towel. You will constantly say, my testimony is God is able. No matter what I am facing, the Bible said in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I cannot vouch for your experience. Only you can do that. I got gloriously saved. Then I got infused with the power of the Holy Ghost. There is something inside of me that is bigger than the sum of my parts, bigger than my eyes and my tongue and my hands and my feet and my flesh. There is something inside of me. What? Know you not? He was shocked. He said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What? Don't you know that the Holy Ghost that moved on the face of the deep when it was dark and void and without form now lives inside of you? And so the Apostle Peter said, this is a great promise. This is an exceeding great promise. This is a precious promise. And that is that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know what you will face in the morning. But I can tell you this, if you're a blood-bought, a blood-washed, spirit-filled child of the living God, that whatever comes against you tomorrow will be inferior to what God is invested inside of you. Somebody comes to church and they say, I don't understand it. The reason they don't understand it is because they don't have in them what you've got in you. They don't have in them what I have in me. Sometimes what I've got in me just needs to have a little fun. It just needs to express itself. It just needs to shimmy and jive a little bit. It needs to dance and shake a little bit. It needs to holler out once in a while. It needs to give forth an exclamation, praise God. I might look like I'm mere flesh, but inside of me is the divine nature of Almighty God. I am a partaker of that divine nature. And so forgive me if I want to shout and sing and praise God, because this is my promise. This is my assurance that greater is he that's in me than is he that is in the world. So that means no doctor, no judge, no sickness, no economic disaster that comes against me can subdue me, because I have inside of me a greater force than this world knows anything about. How many people in this building that's your testimony, that you know that there's something inside of you that is not natural? You didn't get it from your mother or your daddy, but it happened as an event, as a spiritual experience. When you met God, the God of the universe invested something inside of you, and you marvel at yourself. Friend, you're not where God wants you to be until your favorite testimony is not one you hear, but one you live. You're not where God wants you to be until you're your own hero. You're not where you want to be until amazing grace is copyrighted by your spirit. You say, look what the Lord has done for me. Until you can look back in the wake of your past and say, look what the Lord has brought me through. I had no idea I could pass through that. I had no idea I could do that. I had no idea I could endure that. My mama couldn't, my daddy couldn't, my brothers couldn't, and my sisters couldn't, and my cousins, they never did. But praise God, look what the Lord has done through me. It must be that what is in me is greater than that is in the world. Can somebody say praise God? Can somebody give the Lord a shout? Hallelujah! The Lord is not only in this house, the Lord is inside of you, and you need to testify about it every day, not only to the devil, but tell yourself, he's inside of me. The Creator lives inside of me. He can make something out of nothing. He can make a way where there is no way. He can subdue every demon out of hell. He can bring every weapon that's formed against me to naught. Hallelujah. That's a promise. Woo! That's a promise. That's a wonderful promise. That's an exceeding promise. That's a precious promise, and it is the Word of God, and it is my possession. Number two, Our resistance exceeds the devil's aggression. Our resistance exceeds the devil's aggression. The Bible said in James 4, 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Our resistance exceeds the devil's aggression. When the devil comes against you and begins to attack you, if you will submit yourself to God, what does that mean? That means you allow that spirit that's inside of you, the word of God that you have now been feeding on, you let it rise to the surface. And it begins to resist the devil. And the devil won't just give up and say, well, it's a standoff. I want to shake your hand. No, friend, your resistance will be so strong that whatever aggression the devil had against you, not only will he stop, he will literally run from you. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there are people in this building that the devil dodges. There are people in this building that the devil ignores. There are people in this building that the devil pretends does not exist, because you have resisted him to the point that you have exposed him, the leader, to the embarrassment of his demonic followers, and he doesn't want to mess with you again, because he knows who you are, and he knows you know who you are. He knows your cover, that you know your cover from the top of your head to the sole of your feet with the blood of the Lamb. He knows that you know the Holy Ghost is inside of you. He knows that you know a lot of the Word of God, that there's a two-edged sword in your hand, and if he comes against you, he will not only be victorious, he will be embarrassed, he will be humiliated, he won't be able to hold his ground, he's not going to get new ground, he's going to lose ground he thought he had, praise God, and the devil knows that. Your resistance is greater than the devil's aggression. If you'll just stand and declare the name of the Lord, the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, and tell him who you are in Jesus' name. Number three, God's wall is always higher than the devil's flood. God's wall is always higher than the devil's flood. Praise God. Somebody said, I'm going to build a prayer wall, a praise wall, or make the devil pay for it. Praise God. God's wall is always higher than the devil's wall, devil's flood. The Bible said in Isaiah 59, 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, and he will, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I can promise you that that wall will be higher than the flood of the devil. It doesn't matter what the devil has planned for me. God's got a remedy. He said, for every trial, there is an escape. For every attack, there is a deliverance. For every flood, there is a wall. Zechariah said it this way in Zechariah 2 and 5. I, saith the Lord, will be under her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Friend, I want to tell you that God has a way of protecting me and building a hedge around me, because all I have to do is don't fight my battles. So many Christians are fighting their own battles. Your flesh is absolutely not a worthy opponent of the devil. But praise God, God's Spirit is more than enough. And so I don't fight the devil. I praise the Lord. When the devil comes in like a flood, I don't say, well, I've got to learn to swim and see if I can endure this. What I do is begin to praise God. It's not my job to build a wall. It's my job to give God the praise. It's my job to declare the name of the Lord. It's my job to let the Spirit of God be released out of my very being. And it's God's job to build a wall. And I am living proof that the devil has come against me with floods of attack so many different ways, but not one of them has prospered. Not one of them has killed me. Not one of them has seriously injured me. Not one of them has taken me out. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord always rushes to my defense. That's what the Bible means when it says, hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. You don't have to be smarter. You don't have to have the last word. You don't have to tell them off. You've got to have the first praise. Let the Lord be praised. It's difficult when the devil comes in like a flood to say, thanks be unto God. Glory to the Father which is in heaven. Praise be to God that is able. He is my Savior. He is my protector. He is my provider. I think I'll just praise the Lord. And the devil is coming at you with all of the flood power he's got. But your job is not to run, not to flinch, not to blink, but just lift your heart, lift your hands, and say, glory be to the glorious God that I serve, and begin to praise Him. It's praise time when the devil comes in like a flood. It's time to lift your hand, your voice. It's time to clap your hands. It's time to give the Lord your dance. Because I promise you, friend, the wall of God is always higher than the flood of the devil. Somebody right now is just having a flood of things against you. I can always tell when the devil's giving me one more shot. I go for a long time. Somebody said, oh, the devil just after me every day. I don't deal with the devil every day. I deal with my flesh every day, and that's a big enough problem. But I don't deal with the devil every day. He goes away, and he gets to thinking about it. And he said he's defeated me, but maybe he's getting older. Maybe he's getting tired. Maybe he's getting weaker. Maybe he's getting worn down. So here he comes. And I can always tell when it's an attack day from the devil, because you won't have one thing go wrong. You'll have a series. The devil comes in a flurry. I've noticed that, just in a flurry. Not one thing, but the first 2 or 3 hours you're out of bed, everything possibly that can go wrong goes wrong. The first phone call you get is negative. You got a pain in a place you didn't even know you had a place. You got a problem you didn't even know you had. You've got a financial concern you didn't know you had. There's a flat tire on your car and you didn't even know you had a car. I mean, you got problems you can't even imagine. It's all happening, and it happens right up at the front of the day. That's the reason why early in the morning you need to get your praise on. You need to get started on the right foot, praise God. Don't wait. You need to be the aggressor. You need to come out of that bedroom singing the anthems of God and giving God the glory and the praise. But I can tell when the devil said, I'm going to try one more time. One more time. But praise God, I want to up the ante. I want to accelerate my praise. I want the devil to have to retreat and say, he's not getting older, he's getting better. He's not getting weaker, he's getting stronger. He's getting more emphatic in his faith. Ladies and gentlemen, when I see this world and I see what's happening, it doesn't make me stronger. It doesn't make me weaker, it makes me stronger. I was on Netflix the other night. I can't find a lot of things I want to watch, and I was on Netflix, and I saw on this Netflix a movie of a pastor that has preached for us a lot of times. I've preached for him. He was one of my wonderful friends. I love him dearly. But it showed his fall, and Pastor Becky came in when it was just ending, and I said, I've been watching this movie about our friend and the terrible destruction in his life. And she said, how does that affect you? I said, oh, it makes me so strong. It makes me so strong. Because you understand, that guy was one of the most talented people I've ever met. That guy was amazing. That guy has so much ability. It made me realize if it were possible, the very elect will be deceived. But praise God, my faith is not in my ability. I've watched a lot of talented people fall. I just wonder if you don't get some faith in your talent. If you don't get faith in your ability. When you're just running without anything, and you say, Lord, I can't sing my way through. I can't fake my way through. I just don't have, Lord, it's just going to have to be you. There might be a benefit in that. Because, Lord, I am where I am by the grace of God. Lord, you woke me up out of a darkness and you put me in the sunlight of your morning. Lord, you promoted me above my ability and above my fellows. And the devil has come in like a flood 1,000 times, but God, you just keep building that wall higher and higher. And so I know there's lots of problems in this world. I know there's lots of problems in the so-called church. I know there's a lot of people that have denied the faith. But friend, that in no way weakens my position or my posture. I am determined. I'm going to stay true to God's word. I'm going to be a true worshiper of God. The Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. I cannot deviate from the Bible. God's word is absolutely absolute. And praise God, I stand on that word. And so when the devil comes in like a flood, all I can say is, I know that my Lord is able. I commit everything I've got to him. My energy, my body, my mind, my heart, my soul, my finance, my efforts, I commit it all to him. And friend, I can tell you I've seen some floods in my lifetime. But I've watched every one of those floods be hidden by a wall that I can't see over. And I have to say, Lord, is he still out there? And the Lord said, he's still out there. But don't fear. Just praise me because you are behind the wall. And I'm on the other side of the wall taking care of your enemy for you. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, I've seen too many people panic. I've seen too many people run. I've seen too few people stand. They let things scare them away from God, scare them away from church, scare them away from the Bible. But I can promise you this right now, if you will stand on the word of God, the God I serve will turn it all around. He'll build a wall that the devil can't scale. There might be people on the other side drowning. There might be people on the other side devastated. But praise God, the Lord will keep you high and dry. And so the children of Israel came through and the water walls were heaped up. They were high because they trust in the Lord. But when the Egyptians started to do the same thing because they did not stand on God's word, those walls came down and water drowned them. Ladies and gentlemen, my integrity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I have is because of him. I praise him. I glorify him. I cannot compromise his position in my life. He is the one that died for me. He saved me. And all I can do is stand flat-footed in the 21st century and say, let this world do what it's going to. But as for me, I won't bend. I won't bow. But I'm going to give God the glory and I'm going to give God the praise. Number four. I'm talking about these exceeding great precious promises. The devil's attack is subject to our permission. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, said the devil just been beating me up. There's not really a scripture for that. That's something that you have permitted. There is a free zone. There is a hedge around you. Between you and the hedge, there's a little space. So how big is that space? It's bigger than the devil's reach, is all I can tell you. He can't get to me. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The key word in that whole verse is may. Who he may devour. That word means whom he has the provision, permission to devour. I ask you about your life right now. Do your words, do your attitudes, do your thoughts give the devil permission to be pervasive in your life? Are your actions, your thoughts and your words simply a no to the devil? You can't have permission to devour me. The Bible teaches us that if we are obedient to the Lord, if we are obedient to the Lord, he will do what? He will rebuke the devourer. Do you understand the little thread that's going through what I'm talking about tonight? That the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. Your allegiance is to God, not to be a prize fighter in eternity, but to be a praiser, not only in the world to come, but a praiser right now on a Wednesday night, no matter what hell is bringing against you. You ought to be a praiser tonight. You say, well, I don't feel much like praising the Lord. That's when you ought to go to your savings account. Pastor Brandon talking about a savings account. Oh, I'll tell you what, folks. If you're still living from Friday to Friday, we commend you. But we want to tell you there's a better way. John Osteen told me 100 years ago, Steve, he said, when I was starting out, we always lived off the bottom of the barrel. But he said, that barrel's been full for years, and we just rake it off the top. Just rake it off the top. It's a whole lot easier when you get to where you can rake it off the top. That's the way I'm living in everything in God's kingdom. I'm raking it off the top. You understand how difficult it is to get something out of a 55-gallon barrel? You got to stand on your head. You got to be undignified. Somebody comes by, your feet's waving in the air. What are you doing? I'm getting the last thing out of the bottom of the barrel. But praise God, you can lift off the top of the barrel in a tuxedo. Just rake it off. Just rake it off. Some of you are doing better than you used to do. The barrel's half full. But I want to tell somebody tonight, God wants me to tell you that the barrel is going to be plumb full. It's going to be to the top, praise God. It's going to be all the way to the top. And so I'm not giving the devil permission in my life. I am saying, devil, I've got the authority to say no to you. And the Bible said, because I'm a tither. And that word tithing there is not only in your money. It's just giving God the first of your life, the first fruits of your life. If you'll give God the first fruits of your life, what will he do? He will rebuke and devour. Do you know if you've got anything good, the devil hates it? If you've got a nice car, the devil wants you to have a wreck at the first stoplight. If you're healthy, the devil wants you to be sick. If you've got good kids, the devil wants to abduct them and kidnap them and cause them to go crazy. Anything that's good in your life, the devil hates it. The devil hates good. He hates light. He hates right. He hates blessing. He hates prosperity. He hates joy. He hates everything that is overflowing. The devil is just a hater. And friend, if there's not somebody to rebuke him, Jesus said in John 10:10, he'll come and he'll steal. He'll steal all he can, and he will kill, and he'll destroy the evidence that you ever were. But friend, because I'm a tither, not just with my money. I tithe on every dime I get. I tithe. But I not only tithe on my money, I tithe on my time. I tithe on everything I've got. I'm a tither of everything I am and everything I have. And because of that, guess what? Guess what? The devil, the adversary that goes around as a roaring lion. Do you know what it is to live without fear in the jungle? Do you know what it is to live in a house that you don't have to have bars on your windows and you don't have to shut the door because there's lions in the jungle? You don't have to worry about that. Why? Because the Lord said, I will rebuke the adversary. Praise God. Because of my relationship with God, I cannot be stolen from the devil. And if the devil would find some way to get something, I can just praise God. And after a while, you know what I'll see? I see the Lord coming. He's got the devil by his scrawny little neck. And he said, tell Steve you're sorry. I'm sorry, Steve. And tell him, here's what you took from him. Yeah, here's what I got. And now tell him that you've got 7 times more to give him. That's God's word. That's God's word. Oh, no wonder Peter said, my vocabulary fails me. He said, promises, great promises, precious promises, exceeding precious promises. Do you understand what it means to be a partaker of his divine nature? Don't let anybody, don't let the Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Catholics, don't let them tell you that you just got to live like hell on this earth because when you die, you're going to be saved. Friend, reject that with everything that's in you. That's a religious opiate the devil wants to sell you. If it can't get you on heroin, and it can't get you on alcohol, and it can't get you in sexual promiscuity, I'll tell you what he wants to do. He wants to get you on a religious opiate. He wants to get you on a religious drug that says, well, you've got to live in a pitiful state. You've got to rise up and say, wait just a minute. I am a partaker of his divine nature, and I've embraced his precious promises, his exceeding precious promises, his great exceeding precious promises. I'm standing on the word of God. And so when the devil comes in like a flood, there's a wall. When the devil thinks he's got me, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And when the devil comes in to devour me, praise God, there is my God Almighty saying, you can't touch him. He belongs to me. You say, well, I'm amazed at the number of people that don't go to church. Austin, Texas, the most unchurched city in America. Oh, you're really smart, Austin. That's intelligent. I'm just amazed. I would so much rather spend my time in the house of God with you people than I would in the courtroom. You're going to invest your time somewhere. The devil's going to do his best to get you in a courtroom. Let me tell you, the devil's got lots of churches. They're called the synagogues of Satan. The devil wants to take you to church. That's a courtroom, that's a hospital, juvenile court, jail, prison. He's got you right where he wants you. If you don't mind, I think I'll just invest my time in the house of the Lord. And so that any plan the devil has got to put me in jail, the devil finds out that God closes that door. Any plan he's got to put me in the hospital, the Lord says, you can give that bed to somebody else. Steve won't be needing that. Why? Because I've rebuked his adversary. He's tried to drag me out of this pulpit and out of the church of the living God, but the devil is a failure. Praise God. Why? Not because of my flesh, but because of God's promises. And Brother Green, I believe with everything in me that they are yea and amen. I believe that God is able to perform that which he promised. That's what the Bible said about Abraham. You said, but Pastor, you don't know what I need. I'll tell you what you need. You need less than what Abraham and Sarah needed. She's 90 years old, he's 100 years old, and we got to make a baby. Ain't nobody in America can do that. It was impossible, except there was a promise behind the impossibility. Every impossibility you face, there's a promise right behind that. And you've got to be able to look, see that through that impossibility and say, I know the Lord is able. I know the Lord is able. The Bible said faith is some of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without any evidence, you stand right on that promise and say, God is going to fulfill that promise in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil and all of his attacks is subject to our permission once we get the authority of God. Friend, you know, there's all kinds of ministries. And we try to have a broad base of ministry here. There's all kinds of ministries in the world, and so many of them good. But like Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin, Smith Wigglesworth, they brought a whole new enlightenment to the church that we could possess the land now. Nobody was teaching that until Smith Wigglesworth came along and began to preach the word of God. And Brother Hagin began to get that, and he began to teach that. And then Brother Copeland heard him, and he began to teach that. It's helped us all. It's helped us all. I stand on the promises of God's word. I don't care what the church world says. I read online all the time men that claim to be Christian men, and they'll just attack Creflo Dollar as a heretic. They'll attack Kenneth Copeland as a heretic. They'll attack John Hagee as a heretic. When people make those kind of attacks, it tells me something about them, not the person they're attacking. It tells me about the attacker. You're on the wrong side. Friend, you've got to look at somebody's enemies to find out how good they are. And when I look at certain people's enemies, I say they got to be all right because they got the best enemies in the world. You want the right people mad at you, the right people denouncing you. And so no matter what the devil's attack is, I'm not going to give him permission to be in my life. Not by my attitude, not by my thoughts, not by my needs, not by my deeds. I'm just going to say, no, devil, I'm sorry. You have to go somewhere else. There's some people down at the bar. They'll give you a place. There's some folks down at the jail. They'll give you a place. But I'm instructed by the Word of God. Give the devil no place. Just give him no place. Just give him no place. You can give the devil a place by what you bring into your home, what you take in your body, the people you run with, what you let be in your mind. Just give the devil. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because, praise God, I want to tell you that the devil's attack is subject to our permission, and he's getting no permission from me. No, devil! You can't come into my family and my life and my church. We'll worship you out of here. I got to close. But if you want to get somebody to leave, somebody just gets to be an annoyance. You know, they just hang around all the time. Maybe you don't have people like that, but it just, you know, I feel badly about this because they were a great couple. But I used to have a barn down here on 1518, and we was working hard. We were selling thousands of horses. And I used to have a guy, he came by quite a bit from the church. Sweet guy. Wife, sweetly. I miss them people. Wish they'd come back. If you're watching this, come back. I'm sorry. I won't do this to you anymore. I promise. You'll come back. But he just show up. He wanted to be a cowboy. You know, he had a real crease in his Levi's. And when he came down there, believe me, I don't have no crease. I just got manure all over me. When you're really working in that bit, you're working. So he just coming and he was a brother. So he came, anything I can do? No. So he'd just talk, and he was very distracting. I'm trying to get some work done. So this went on for a few weeks. One day, it's about July something. It was so hot. Whoa, it was hot. And we had 7 stalls plus a tack room in that building. He said, "Pastor, is anything I can do?" And he had on his real chic cowboy, not real working cowboy. It was a real chic. He said, "Anything I do?" I said, "Yeah, you arrived at the right time." I said, "We got to clean all these stalls today." He said, "What?" I said, "We got to clean all these stalls today." "Here, brother, it's what they call an apple picker, because you pick up manure with it. It's called an apple picker." I said, "Here, brother." And I don't know how many hours we was in that hot barn. He'd been in this church for 2 or 3 years, brother. Well, if I called his name, you might remember him. It's been years ago. Man, they were tithers and givers. Sweet people. About 6 or 7 hours of that, he looked like me. The crease was gone. The manure stains were on his blue jeans. I said, "Brother, can you come back tomorrow?" He said, "I don't think I can make it tomorrow." I never seen him again. Not in church or anywhere. God forgive me if I cause that brother to be lost. He's probably over at Cornerstone or somewhere. He's probably doing well somewhere. But I run that poor brother off. But the point I'm making is there's ways to get rid of people. But the best ways to get rid of people is to brag on their enemies. Just brag on their enemies. I had a guy one time here in the South Close. I had this guy come to me and he said, "Brother Steve," he said, "you've been over to Brother Side's church over here." I said, "Yeah." He said, "That poor guy don't have nobody over there." I said, "I was over there Sunday. I used to have Sunday afternoon." I said, "He asked me to come over Sunday afternoon." I said, "That place was just full." He said, "Is that right? I thought he didn't have nobody." He said, "You've been over here to Brother Chance's church?" I said, "He had to go to 2 services. He said, you've been over here to Rick Godfrey. I said, oh, man, he's getting to build a new building. It wasn't 5 or 10 minutes. That brother was gone. All you got to do is brag on their enemies, and they will leave. And little people have big enemies. You understand that? Little people have big enemies. They hate everybody that's more successful than they are. And that's the reason why the devil hates Jesus, is because Jesus is so much more successful than the devil. And Jesus is his number one enemy. So the point is this. When the devourer comes, all you got to do is say, hey, have you seen Jesus today? He healed 3 people of cancer this week in our church. We had some folks get saved. You start talking. I don't care whether the devil is like a beautiful black girl or a blue-eyed blonde. I don't care what his disguise is. If you'll start bragging on Jesus, he will take his leave. You say, the devil's been after me all day. No excuse for that. Now, there is a probability that the devil will show up. But the longer he stays is determined by your conversation. If your conversation is about Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus. He's never failed me. He saved me when I was unsavable. He took me when nobody else wanted me. He took my sins away. He's healed my body on so many occasions. He made a way where there was no way. He's kept food on my table. He's kept joy in my heart. Oh, devil, do you know Jesus like I know Jesus? He's a wonderful Savior. He's a mighty God. If you'll just wait just a minute here, devil, would you just hold my microphone? I want to clap to Jesus. Praise God. Can you hold my coat? I want to dance a little bit. He won't hold your microphone. He won't hold your coat. The Bible said resist him and he'll flee from you. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what CNN says. I don't care what Fox News says. I don't care what the local affiliate says. I don't care what the banker says. I don't care what the lawyer said. I don't care what the theologian says. I know too much about Jesus Christ to do anything but say, wow, exceeding great and precious promises, and I am a partaker of his divine nature, and so I am an overcomer, and devil, ain't nothing you can do about it. Will you stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I didn't get through, but you kind of got the gist of what I'm thinking. If you're in this building right now and you've got a battle you can't win, why don't you praise a Jesus that you can know and let him fight your battle? If you don't have enough money, if the doctors can't fix you, if the court's ruling against you, why don't you just begin to praise God where you are? And when your praise becomes too big for you, why don't you just circulate it by getting out in the aisle and coming down to this altar and begin to praise God? The Bible said, show forth the praise of God and let everybody know I'm a Jesus fanatic. I am a Holy Ghost-filled person, and I believe that God's promises are true, and every one of them are coming to pass in my life. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I'm amazed at God because I cannot think of a thing that God hasn't done in my behalf that I've asked him to. The thing about God, I never see him doing it. I just see the results. I know what it is to be broke. I know what it is not to be able to pay your bills. I don't know when, I don't know where, but all that just turned around. And one day I said, ha, where was the Lord? I didn't see him do it, but he did it. He did it, praise God. I didn't always feel the surgeon's hands on my body, but he is my great physician. He is my healer and is in this house tonight. And if you need a miracle in your body, in your life, will you step out of your pew and come here right now? I'm through. You just got a moment. If you want a miracle, if you want God to do something great in your life and fulfill a promise, this is the moment to come. Becky is singing, I'm through, and God's ready. And the question is, are you ready? Are you ready to take the next step, to move up the next level?